All right, ladies and gentlemen, our featured podcast is about to start. Can we get some good applause from you so it shows up on the recording? Make these people at home think that maybe there are 37, 38 people in the audience. Oh, there we go. Can we push it up to 43 people in the audience? There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please, a very great podcast. Please put your hands together for Radio Show!
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Everyone, please sit down. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank
That's
you very
the biggest
much.
Applause that we've ever gotten, Jeff. And actually, there's more people in this room than have heard our podcast ever.
In
so
total.
This is our largest crowd we've ever seen, yeah.
Yeah, we're very glad to be here. Welcome for hour two of the Super Duper Saturday Show.
Yes.
Appreciate the invitation from Tim, and we are ready to get started. Jeremy, we're coming off a very successful video podcast.
Our first video podcast.
People are still talking about. We had
our first and only video podcast.
The costs were very expensive. That's very true.
We went from like just recording podcasts in your living room to a video podcast, and now to a podcast in front of a live audience. I'm disappointed. I actually have to wear pants now, Jeff.
That's true.
I'm used to being a lot more casual than this.
Listen, that show, I mean, the buzz from that show, where you've got a lot of emails. Later on, we're going to get into these emails.
Mm.
That show prompted a lot of, and Jeremy, every response we got from that show we did with Archie and the Bunkers, everyone was positive. It was unbelievable. We had no negative emails.
Speaking of emails, for new fans, you can always write to us at hatemail@radioshowonline.com. Check out our website, radioshowonline.com, or find us on Facebook. Just do a search for Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, and we'll show up around page 3 on the Facebook search results.
We have our own YouTube channel as well. We're very excited. I know YouTube was very excited to have us on board.
Like, that's such an exclusive thing.
It really is.
Like, millions of 13-year-old girls have their own YouTube channel, and now so do we.
It's a big step for us. We actually have two videos. Jeremy, I don't even know if you realize this. We have two videos on our channel. Do you know what the second video is?
The Ice Bucket Challenge?
It was my Ice Bucket Challenge, juggling cake.
I watch our YouTube channel.
Which we have some people here who helped contribute to
I'm
that.
Subscriber number 2.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
So
of
it's you
two.
And me.
2 of 2.
Great.
So in case either one of us posts something, the other one will be the first
if
to know.
If we're down to one, we have to revisit that.
Exactly. Yeah, Super Duper Saturday Show. So this is really cool. You know, at the Beachland Tavern, they are here every Saturday from noon to 2. So you can come. We got a great crowd here. People drinking in the daytime, which is awesome. Awesome food. Jeff, I understand that you put a food order in.
Oh, I think you're...
And here it is right now.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because you've been here for an hour, decided right before we go on the air, maybe I'll order some egg on a biscuit.
The biscuits here, Jeremy. I've been hearing so much about these biscuits that I had to try it for myself.
Well, now we could... Oh, there's the crowd agrees with you. Good biscuits here at Beachland
Tavern. So I'm going to eat, and I'll be back here in about 10 minutes.
This is the worst timing ever, Jeff.
Jeremy, what a week in Cleveland. Cleveland Beer Week kicks off.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I was out last night on West 25th. There was excitement in the air. This Sibling Revelry Brewery, a new brewery in Westlake.
Not to be confused with Sibling Rivalry.
Right. It's a clever pun off that.
It's actually the opposite of Sibling Rivalry.
They're celebrating their siblingness.
Right.
They're out in force with stickers promoting this new brewery. And, Jeremy, it got you and I to talking in our 5 minutes here before at the bar.
Because we like to not talk outside the podcast because we like to keep things fresh. If we're talking outside, then everything's going
to
be old news.
There's nothing to say here.
It's going to sound scripted.
Yes.
None of this is scripted, planned, well thought out. None of those things.
It's all happening as we speak. And we talked about the breweries in Ohio. In 2012, there were 58 licensed breweries. 2014, 100. We're assuming this year we're probably pushing 150. Jeremy, is there a limit to Ohio and Cleveland's desire to drink? I mean, how many breweries can we support?
I don't think I've ever heard a Clevelander say, you know, I've just had enough beer. I'm done. No more beer for me.
But all these places are doing well. Platform is a place, you know, close to you. We go there quite a bit. That's relatively new. They're all making money, so you just kind of wonder, I guess they're just going to ride this out. Is this like the .com boom? I feel like who's the Enron of breweries?
I don't think Enron was part of the .com boom.
Oh, sorry, the WorldCom.
You're mixing up your booms. Boons?
Who's going to ruin this for everyone? Now, let's put it that way.
You know, I like you said, I think everyone has, like, most breweries that have been open, they've been successful. I mean, craft brews seem to be the thing to go after right now. I've even seen billboards from Miller advertising the fact that Miller Lite is brewed in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to pick up on that local trend. So I don't think there's an end in sight, which is fine by me.
Yeah, and in this town, I think with the weather, I feel like that sort of facilitates drinking. We've got some long, dark winters here, so there's a lot of potential to just keep drinking and drinking.
So being October now, what are some of your favorite, either local or just craft October beers that you like to enjoy? What are you drinking now, Jeff?
You know, this is a Nosferatu, I believe.
Nos, it's pronounced Nosferatu.
It depends on what part of the city you're from. West Side, I think we say Nos.
I don't think it's a city thing. I think it's
I
just
think
a,
it is.
Okay. Yeah, the Nosferatu, very good.
I enjoy Oktoberfest. Not as much of a pumpkin guy, per se, but I like the Oktoberfest.
Really?
Yeah.
Southern Tier Pumpkin, though, always ranks high for me.
That's your number one?
Yeah, I think so, in terms of pumpkin beers, anyway. Although, speaking of local, Fathead Spooky Tooth, definitely. Anyone have a Fathead Spooky Tooth recently? A couple people? It's
couple
a good
hands.
One. Yes.
It's third hand.
So it's a popular one. We can take live polls right now because actually people here.
We'll be polling the audience throughout the show.
It's not just your dog staring at us like it normally is, awkwardly.
Questioning what's happening.
Right. Actually, your dog just leaves the room when we start.
In quiet disgust.
This crap again.
Well, Jeremy, we got to get into some other things here before we have our guests on.
Yeah, and you got to finish your sandwich.
This gnat off my plate. Jeremy, let's talk about the Steve Jobs movie. You're a very passionate person about Steve Jobs.
I am.
You know, I am not so much.
Right. I do know that.
You're not very good
with technology. I'm actually a little concerned that the mixing board is in front of you.
He was not
too far away from your Nosferatu.
Wasn't Steve Jobs a very flawed man, personally?
What man isn't, Jeff?
But, I mean, the whole daughter thing. I saw the trailer for the movie, Jeremy.
Right, right.
I was embarrassed for him with the way he handled that whole paternity test. Anyone else with me on this?
I mean, I don't think he's going to be known for his contributions as a father.
The legacy you leave, Jeremy, how you treat others? That's what I always say.
Yeah, I mean, but that's true. But most people, you know, didn't found a technology company worth billions of dollars.
But some other people did, Jeremy. Let me tell you about BlackBerry's founder, Mike Lazaridis. This guy, Mike Lazaridis, Jeremy, talk about a guy who's good in the community. He and his wife, Ophelia, are known for their philanthropy. They've given hundreds of millions of dollars, particularly in Canada, where they're very popular.
Hmm.
And did you know, Jeremy, that almost the opposite of Steve Jobs, he stepped down in 2012 just to spend more time with his family. So while Steve Jobs runs from his family, Mike Lazaridis runs to his family. And I think, for one, I'm very proud to have a BlackBerry. And I hope some of the money I give every month to them goes to Mike and his good causes.
So are you saying that there's some correlation between the better you treat your family, the worse your company does?
Yes. Thank you. The crowd knows. Jeremy, I think we'll have to admit in this argument, you think I'm the winner in this one. We'll have to move on.
Okay. We'll call it a draw.
So, Jeremy, on another quick topic, we all love deep dish pizza. I think everyone in this room likes deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza.
But we all know Cleveland has struggled to really perfect the deep dish pizza. You know, you go to Chicago, they're really well known for it. I had 4 deep dish pizzas shipped to me from Lou Malnati's in Chicago.
This isn't true.
It's in my freezer right now. They pack them in dry ice. You can get authentic deep dish pizza without having to pay the high cost of living in Chicago.
Huh.
All the traffic. Well,
what's the cost of shipping pizzas from?
Oh, very reasonably.
Yeah?
Compared to the cost of living and the traffic in Chicago,
yeah.
Now we get the deep dish here in Cleveland without having to pay to live in Chicago.
Well, you'll have to invite me over. Maybe you can eat it live on our next podcast.
That'll be my next meal. We'll do a meal every podcast.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm a big fan of Angelo's in Lakewood.
But see, they try, but they have too much sauce. That's their problem.
I like sauce. I'm a saucy kind of guy.
You're a sauce guy?
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, one more topic real quick.
Done with Pete. You're quick on these. Are we running behind? We're only allowed to spend 60 seconds on each topic.
I'm not big on transitions. Yeah. We just go right to the next topic with no link.
So speaking of pizza, how about that flooding down south?
What a tragedy. But how about Cleveland State playing games at the Q this year?
I don't talk sports.
Quick sports plug. Cleveland State is now playing basketball at Quicken Loans Arena.
You're wearing a Cleveland State sweatshirt right now.
I am. They're the only college basketball Division I team in Cleveland. I feel like a lot of times they're ignored, not given much attention, but they will be playing 5 home games at the arena. Real great opportunity to come see your Cleveland State Vikings. Jeremy, would I be able to take you to a game?
Sure. I never turn down free sporting events. I'm actually going to the Cavs preseason game on Tuesday night.
Oh, wow.
So I do participate in sports. I just don't know things like players' names or, you know, what it's
mascots.
Called when you make a basket.
Yeah, a you shot, know. When you make a shot.
Yeah, oh, a shot? Well, is that what it is?
What
I
called.
Should write that down.
And, Jeremy, we'd like to give one crime story per show. It's a new segment.
Mm.
We'd like to monitor
crime
the police spotter.
With on radio shows. Here's the section.
Great setup for that.
Thanks.
How about this Beechwood Mall driving a stolen Jeep through plate glass window into the Saks Fifth Avenue?
I didn't hear. Yeah, you told me about this one. So what happened?
You got to give these guys points for creativity. They stole a Jeep and then rammed it through the window, the glass facade of the Saks Fifth Avenue, and then within the span of 5 minutes, stole as much merchandise as they could.
And they put it in the Jeep?
They had another car waiting to go. So they plow the Jeep. Great question.
Yeah.
They plow the Jeep through the glass.
Yeah.
They have their entrance. It'd be a great video to watch.
Right.
They flood the store.
Is there a security cam video?
There's video on this.
Oh, let's show that.
Okay, we're queuing it up right now and go.
Okay. We'll edit it.
There's the car and there's the glass. Oh my gosh!
Wow, carnage
through the glass.
Yeah, I mean that does that is. I mean, kudos to them for planning because lots of times criminals aren't that great at planning.
No, they were smart two ways. They also sold them in Chicago, so they had the sense to not sell them in Beechwood.
Mm.
They drove to Chicago, but 2 people were still caught despite taking the merchandise to Chicago.
You don't want to eat where you sleep.
Exactly.
I think it's the same.
So I feel like they're on the right track. They hopefully they learned some things from this, but I think that they really. There were some positive things to take from this for other criminals.
I think there's some positive things for like Saks Fifth Avenue, like maybe reinforce your glass windows.
Yeah,
or
some lessons learned all around.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note, Jeremy, let's bring up our guests. Another great transition. Jeremy, we are very fortunate to have Chuck Gove and Beth Richards from Haunted Cleveland Ghost Tours.
Yes. Definitely October. Now, Chuck and Beth, they do these tours throughout the year. It's not just a Halloween thing, but as you can imagine, it gets to be the month of October. The weather gets a little cooler. People start wanting to be more interested in some of
the dead people.
The dead people, yes, as you call them, ghosts and spirits and such. And they actually just came out with a book called Haunted Cleveland, and so they're here to talk about that as well. So, Chuck and Beth, welcome.
Thank you.
So, is Cleveland haunted?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a great setup, I thought, to talk about.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Right. Okay, good. We're done. Yeah.
A little closer to the
right
microphone.
In? Okay.
Oh.
Good. Good.
Okay. Okay.
Don't be afraid of the microphone.
Never afraid of the microphone. I use it. I have one on a bus, though. I'm much fancier. You know, I get to walk around with it. Cleveland is really, really haunted. I mean, and the things that are haunted in Cleveland are really cool things. We have a haunted submarine. Mm. We have haunted castles. Franklin Castle, probably the most haunted thing in Cleveland. Gray's Armory, which is a haunted place that used to have a lot of guns, so that's cool. Where else do we go this year?
Playhouse Square.
We have our haunted theaters. And since Cleveland has the second largest theater district in the country, it's kind of nice we get to stop in there and I get to play on the stage, so it makes me happy.
So Playhouse Square, it's interesting. I was reading an article about this. The color green keeps coming up with Playhouse Square. A man dressed in green.
The man in the green hat and green suit. He shows up everywhere. He bops around. He's usually in the palace, though. And we had a guest one night who was taking pictures while I was up on the stage talking, and there was like a giant green orb behind me in the picture. And she looked down at her camera, and she like had this panic look on her face. So I'm like, show me. And this orb followed me. All around, wherever I moved, there was this green orb behind me. So I checked behind me. There was nothing green. And every time I start telling the story about the man in the green hat and suit, the green orb pops up.
Was it some guy that didn't survive a St. Patrick's Day parade? Is that...
He could have been doing a bar crawl, and he could have just crawled in. We're not sure who he is.
But St. Patrick's Day parades can be rough around here.
It can be a tough day.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the haunted submarine. How does a submarine become haunted? Did people actually die on the submarine?
The Cod, which is downtown, we talked about this earlier, it's in the lake, and people don't know
that's
that
we have... That's a good spot for a submarine.
Yeah, it's a good place
the
for them to put it.
The land submarines don't work as well.
No. and the guys who run the Cod are fabulous. They're really super guys, and it's actually the only sub that has ever had an international sub-to-sub rescue. They came upon a Dutch submarine that was grounded, and they tried to pull them off the reef. They could not. And so they took all the Dutch sailors onto the sub. So for 3 days, there were 156 guys on the Cod. If you ever go in the Cod, you know you don't want to be, like, much taller than 4 feet tall. And it is very, very small. And 156 sailors were in this sub all together for 3 days. But the Cod had a tragedy one night where one of the torpedoes got stuck in the torpedo hatch. And... two of the sailors noticed it, and they went to and it caught on fire. And they were trying to open the hatch from the inside to get the torpedo out, and they couldn't get it out. So they ran topside to try to open it from the top. They couldn't get it opened, but luckily one of the guys had grabbed a life jacket, and the other fellow did not. And the water was rough. They got washed overboard. And the one gentleman, unfortunately, wasn't a very strong swimmer. And so his buddy tried to help him out, tried to hold him up, and he couldn't hold him any longer. And right before they were rescued, he let go. Oh, wow. And so he drowned. And it was very, very sad. But the crew members on the Cod now believe that he comes in to make sure everything's okay. They'll be... if you ever go down there, there's like a gate that you have to go through, and sometimes the gate's closed, obviously. And if the guys are down in the sub, they'll hear a bell ringing up on top. There's no way for anybody to ring the bell except the spirit who lives on the Cod to take care of them. So they said he's really helped him out a couple times.
Wow. Cool.
This Franklin Castle is interesting to me. This guy, Hans Tiedemann, is really a piece of work.
Yeah, not the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, not really a family man like the BlackBerry guy. Let's talk about Hans.
Hans Tiedemann, who is the original owner of Franklin Castle, he was a very prestigious man in the city. He started out as a grocer. He was an immigrant. He was partners in Wiedemann and Tiedemann Grocery, which I think is a catchy name.
Yeah, did he just meet Wiedemann? He's like, we have to do business
we
together.
We totally have to get
our
together, guys.
Rhyme.
We have to. And he sold his part of the business, became vice president of Euclid Trust Savings, and so he was a very important man, and so he has a very, very important home. If you ever go down Franklin, it doesn't look as enormous if you're looking at it like straight on, but if you look towards the side, I mean, this house goes all the way back. And unfortunately, Hans had a bit of a wandering eye, and there are stories of him having a bit of an affair with one of the servant girls, and maybe choking her and killing her. We're not entirely sure.
To be fair, we haven't heard his side of this.
We don't know what he what his excuse is for it. We don't know. So unfortunately, her spirit seems to linger in the castle. And sadly, actually, there's the spirit of a young girl that they believe is his daughter who lingers in the castle. She passed away when she was 15, so that was kind of sad. But no, he was not the nicest fellow in the world. No.
I was actually at a Halloween party at the Franklin Castle. I believe it was back in 04 or 05. And the day after the Halloween party, or even I think it was even later that night, was when the fire started, the most recent fire that's broken out of Franklin Castle. And I was there. It wasn't me. Was not me.
Was not you.
You'll never prove it. But yeah, a really cool space. I mean, that's a really awesome building. And so I think, right now it's not open. I mean, for tours, it is owned privately. I think someone is rehabbing it right now.
Yeah, right now it's under renovations. The new owner wants to remain very private and no longer wants to do tours on the Franklin Castle grounds.
which is tough to do when you buy the Franklin Castle. It's like you kind of know, especially around October, like there's going to be, you know, people standing outside, you know, your house. I wonder if they'll turn on like the sprinklers this October to like try to scare ghost hunters away.
They haven't yet.
Yeah, but thanks for letting them know about it.
They don't listen to this podcast. No.
So what about these torso murders? That's always intriguing to me.
The torso murders, actually in the 1930s, Cleveland had one of the first serial killers in the United States. The murderer gets credited for beheading 13 victims. Cause of death by most of them was decapitation.
Hence the name, the torso murders.
Yeah, it's when Elliot Ness came to Cleveland, and it was his downfall. He couldn't solve the murders, and to this day, they're unsolved.
So when you're doing the ghost tours, where do you go that's connected to the torso murders? What do people get to see?
We actually take them to the sites where all the victims were found. It's more of a murder tour than a ghost tour. And we tell them the background stories about it. We end at the Cleveland Police Museum. They have on display 4 death masks of the victims they were trying to identify. And author James Bedell meets us there and greets our guests and gives a little background on it.
Oh, wow. So these are all separate tours. Is that correct? So you have a theme for each tour?
Yes. Every year we change our tours.
So let's talk about, you said there's still some spots left for this October. Not many.
A handful of seats. As we were sitting there, they keep selling.
Yeah.
This year we're doing the Haunted Cleveland book ghost tour. It's kind of the best of Haunted Cleveland. We're taking our 17 seasons, and we picked our favorite locations. And the guests get to go into almost every stop we go, and they get to hear the stories and hear the history of those great spots.
How long is the tour about?
Go ahead.
We try to get it shorter and shorter. Last night we were sure we were going to be done at like 9:30, and at 10:30 we weren't yet done. So we like to say 4 hours. We leave right at 6, and we try, but we had a hard time getting them out of Soldiers and Sailors Monument last night. We could not get them out of there.
Let's talk about that, because we talked before you guys came on here how people walk by that every day. Well, particularly in Public Square, is that part of the fence?
Yes.
Is that why you couldn't get them out of there, because they couldn't get through the public square construction?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was weaving my way through. No, actually, they had to leave a really nice entrance for Soldiers and Sailors. It was funny. I was in there before this year's tour when they were talking about Soldiers and Sailors and all the new stuff they were doing at Public Square, and one of the like people from the architect's firm came in, and he actually said, you know, I really think we're going to have to move this monument. I'm like, what? What? Are you insane? Okay, hold on, everybody. Pick up a corner. I mean, it's
enormous.
That
goes underground, too. It's hard to move the underground.
I don't know how we were going to shove it over. And the Tim Leslie, one of the guys who works there, was just looking at him like, okay, you knock yourself out. But it is kind of neat because we get to see the wasteland of what is Public Square right now. But one of the things I told you was, I love when we take a tour in, and most of our people are Clevelanders, and we take a tour in, and they say, oh, my God, I walked past this for 30 years, and I never, ever knew you could go inside. Mm-hmm. And they walk inside, and they're just floored with how amazing and the work that's been done in there. And our guests are very lucky because not only do they get to see the upstairs of the monument and hear the history of the monument and the strange things that happen there, but they actually get a private tunnel tour where they get to go under Public Square and basically get to investigate the tunnel. So that's pretty cool.
Hopefully the renovations that they're doing on Public Square will draw more attention to the monument and get more people to realize that it's there and, yes, you can go in, because I agree it is a really cool space. Well, I have a great-great uncle whose name's actually one on the wall. Christopher Borger is up on the wall inside.
It's good it's your dad's size, so we can believe you.
Yes.
That's your last name. Yeah. So what about a couple of things real quick. Gray's Armory.
Gray's Armory is a fabulous space, which is another thing that I don't think people realize, that It's a museum. You can go in. They're open every Wednesday. They're basically dedicated to military history and what the Cleveland Grays did for the city of Cleveland. They were basically our militia at the time. They also were involved in Abraham Lincoln's, when he came to Cleveland, alive, and they were actually part of the honor guard for his funeral train. So the Grays were really important. And they have so many cool things that go on in there. They have several different spirits. They believe their old range master still drops in to make sure they're doing a good job. They've smelled his tobacco pipe smoke in there and everything. They've had mishaps, and they're doing a lot of renovation right now, so things are getting stirred up. So it's been pretty exciting for them.
Hmm. What about the book, then? Let's talk about the book, A Haunted Cleveland. So what can people expect in terms of stories, and what do you cover in the book?
Okay, what we do, because when I first started working with Chuck 16 years ago, I wasn't sure what he wanted, because I kind of got told by my mom I was doing this, because I listen to my mom and I do what I'm told. And so our tours aren't the, ooh, somebody's jumping out to scare you. They're the history of the spaces in Cleveland. They're what's important to Cleveland. So what we did with the book is the first part of every chapter is the history behind all the places that we go to. And then the second part is experiences we've had on tours or experiences that we've been told about in different legends. So
let's talk about some of the experiences that you've had on tours. What are some of the ones that come to mind?
We get some fabulous, fabulous pictures. Even last night we had somebody taking a, not that we were in front of Franklin Castle taking pictures of it or anything, stalking the poor guy who's staying there, but we might have been on the sidewalk casually, and a lady was taking pictures, and it actually looked like lightning bolts coming down. Now, I will say this. We ask people to send us pictures all the time. They say they will. They lie. They never do. But so we've had some really cool pictures. I was actually pushed in the playhouse one night. Apparently, I was irritating whoever, which spirit was in there. But it was really cool because somebody pushed me, and then somebody was taking a picture, and they showed me the picture. And all our guests are dressed pretty casually. They're dressed for the weather. You know, it's Cleveland. And I look in this picture, and there's a man standing, like, probably 10 feet away from me in a black suit, white shirt, and a tie.
Wow.
He wasn't on the tour with us. I don't know who he was. So we've had some interesting things happen.
Hmm.
What got you into this? Let's go back. You said 16 years. How did this come to be?
It really started when I got to the age where I was too old to go to the haunted houses, and I love Halloween. It seems like a lot of people in Cleveland love the holiday. So I came up with the ghost tour because I knew Cleveland didn't offer one at the time. And it just kind of took a life of its own. And luckily I found Beth, and Beth took over all the writing responsibilities. And it's been a partnership made in heaven. But it's been a lot of fun. The years have flown by.
And this is your full-time, I mean, this is your only work, or is this a side project?
No. Actually, I am a Cleveland Police homicide detective.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I really make my money. But
okay.
This isn't what Jeff and I do full-time either. No. A lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people here thought
this
that.
This is 40 hours of prep for this every week.
But it is full-time this time of year. I mean, we work at it day and night.
Oh, it's very cool. I have to ask you one thing. You hear a lot about people here go to school at Miami of Ohio. You've heard about that headless motorcycle rider. Do you ever hear about that? They claim if they go outside of Oxford just a little bit, was it a student got involved in an accident? And can you tell me a little bit about that?
I think every college town has a story like that, just like everybody has the crybaby bridge story. And I think it kind of starts with the, you know, don't be stupid, don't drink and drive, don't ride your motorcycle and drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, but most colleges you hear of weird headless motorcycle guy. There's always something in the theaters in colleges. There's always something. I know Bowling Green's theater was haunted. And when I was at school there, I was absolutely terrified to be in there by myself. And I think Miami also has a ghost girl somewhere. I believe she was hit by a train or something. I don't know the whole story, but yeah. So I think most of the stories like that we hear are kind of like your
urban legends.
Urban legends, yeah, yeah. You know, the things that your mom would tell you to scare you. Yeah. You know, don't go in the water because there's a giant monster that'll eat you. You know,
yeah,
kind of thing.
They always say in Oxford, you just see this lone headlight coming at you. And then when it gets close, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's really survived a number of years, that story. I'm sure it's only grown through the years.
Yeah, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, yeah. Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, as if awesome. The cost of college isn't scary enough. Am I right, people?
Yeah. All right. Well, if you guys don't mind sticking around, we are very fortunate. Michael Simon's a big fan of the show. Now, not Michael Simon, the chef. This Michael Simon's actually a bookie in Garfield Heights, but he loves listening to us, and he loves to give back. So he's also a huge Melissa McCarthy fan. Huge. Hmm. So we have four Melissa McCarthy movies. One's on Blu-ray. We're very
fortunate. I didn't know Melissa McCarthy made four movies.
Oh, Jeremy, this is just tip of the iceberg. Okay. She's very popular. Now, we're going to give these away to see who was the most attentive here during this interview. So the first question, what color is associated on these ghost tours with the State Theater? What color? Cammy, green. Now, Cammy, because of that great answer, we're going to give you the movie Tammy. Now, Tammy gets into all these crazy adventures.
It's the extended cut, by the way.
Extended cut. On the back, she's here. She's riding a jet ski, but one leg is up in the air. I don't know what is happening here with Tammy. She's here in a car. It looks like the windshield's broken. All right, Cammy, I'm excited for you to go on these adventures with Tammy. So we'll leave this up here for you when you have a chance.
So Cammy gets Tammy.
Jeremy, do you have a question to ask someone for the next movie?
No, because I didn't know we were doing that.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well, then I'll do it. What decade did the Torso murders occur? 1930s.
Nice.
That's correct. You are going to get Identity Thief. Identity Thief, it looks like Melissa McCarthy's in some crazy adventures again. On the back of this, looks like she's at like some sort of rodeo bar wearing a cowboy hat. I don't know what happened, but Jason Bateman's here holding handcuffs, so he looks upset. So I think you got to piece this all together. We'll leave this up here for you. Identity Thief, congratulations. Another winner. And Jeremy, we've got, let's give out at least one more here. This is Spy. This was just out in theaters. Very exciting. Wow. The question for Spy is, when is Gray's Armory open? What day of the week?
Wednesday.
We've got another winner. Now, it looks like in Spy, Melissa McCarthy, she's undercover here.
Is she a spy?
She's trying to be a spy, but she doesn't look like a spy because she's so crazy with her dressing, her antics.
Yeah, yeah.
Her antics
she's
are
probably very
people.
Flamboyant in this movie,
she's
I would imagine.
She's on a scooter here, driving through Europe on a scooter. I'm not sure where she's going.
A scooter?
But it seems like, she's wearing a cat shirt, Jeremy,
oh,
here.
Oh, my gosh. What
spies
is she, a
don't
cat
wear cat
lover?
Shirts.
Yeah, I could have
so
picked her
out.
So
we're going to leave this up here for you for Spy. Congratulations.
Look out, James Bond.
Jeremy, a lot of winners here at the Beachland Ballroom.
I think we're all winners tonight, Jeff.
I think so. Jeremy, speaking of winners, how about people that email us, mailbag?
How about people? Again, if you want to write to us, you can do so. hatemail@radioshowonline.com. And should I read the first one?
Go, you lead it off.
All right. Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy.
That's us.
That's how most start. I really liked that video podcast you guys did, and especially liked the part about how to get out of weddings. I remember this.
Well, that was my chart, Jeremy.
Yes,
yeah.
I remember the chart. I printed out that chart and keep it on my desk. I was wondering if you thought I could use it to get out of other things like birthdays and funerals.
Oh, great question. Can you use the chart to get out of weddings? Funerals, it's hard to predict a funeral, but I feel like a birthday, the whole point of the getting out of weddings is if you know an engagement's coming, you really start backing away from the people so you don't get invited. You start not returning their calls. You lay low until they're engaged, till the wedding. Now, for a birthday, I think when you see a birthday coming up, you could definitely use that. But for a funeral, Jeremy, unless you can think of something, I don't know that can be used for funerals.
I wouldn't recommend it on funerals.
Okay. Great question, though.
Yeah, yeah. Next question. You can go.
Oh, I do? Okay. Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, thank you very much.
Thanks.
By the way, Chuck, thank you very much, Chuck and Beth, for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
Jeremy, we got a question here about relationships, which you and I
I'm the expert in.
Are experts.
Right. Who's in a relationship?
Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, I have a relationship problem, and you guys were the first ones I thought of for help.
Wah, wah, as we normally are.
My girlfriend spends a ton of money on purses and shoes, and it's getting out of control.
Dumper.
I found boxes of shoes in the attic, and found out one of her purses cost $800.
$800 for a purse?
Unbelievable. Meanwhile, she
that's
goes
more
to
than
me.
The annual budget for radio show with Jeff and Jeremy.
I mean, yeah, Jeremy, that's a lot of money. And meanwhile, get this. She goes to this guy all the time for money for rent and other expenses she says she can't afford. Should I dump her?
She goes. Wait, what was that last part?
She goes to him, this guy writing, all the time for money for rent and other expenses.
Oh, got it. They don't live together yet then?
Apparently not. He said, other than that, she's great and she's a good cook, and that's a huge factor for me. This is Reggie in Mayfield.
Reggie.
What would you tell Reggie in Mayfield?
Reggie, things aren't going to change, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's going to continue her spending habits. It's not like as you guys get closer together that she's suddenly going to stop. So
Jeremy, you say get out.
If it's a strain on the relationship, does he say how long they've been together?
He doesn't, but I'm going to say 2 years.
Okay. I would say, you know, if it's bothering you enough that you're writing a random podcast, I think maybe you should get out of it.
Okay. Great question, Jeremy. Any better answer?
Oh, thanks.
You want to take the next one?
Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, I really liked your video podcast featuring Archie and the Bunkers, which you can check out on our Facebook page, by the way, and our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I saw how much fun you guys have doing the show. I don't have fun, Sheila. I don't know what Sheila's talking about.
Oh, maybe
she must
me.
Be watching you. Yeah. And it made me realize how much I hate my job and want to quit. I really like puppets, but not sure how I can make a career out of that. Should I quit my job and pursue my passion of puppetry? I will do whatever you guys say. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah.
Never. Once. Please give this some thought. That's from Sheila in Euclid.
Sheila, that's a great another great question. Jeremy, puppetry, I'm not sure if that's the right route to go. I'd like to know what her day job is so I can know the benefits with that. But to leave your job for puppetry, I'm going to thumbs down that.
I think you should start. You don't have to quit your job and go full force into puppetry.
Is there a weekend puppetry?
Yeah, you can kind of experiment with puppets on the weekend.
Maybe at home, even alone?
Yeah, sure. Go downtown, maybe East 4th and Euclid, lunchtime on like a Wednesday afternoon. You go and you do your puppet show. See how much response you get. Maybe do a podcast about puppetry.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. There's not many puppetry podcasts out there.
Not a lot out there. It's more of a visual medium, so that's probably why.
That's true.
But yeah, experiment with a little bit in the beginning before you go and quit your job. I would say see if this idea has legs or strings. A little marionette humor there for you, Jeff.
Oh, wow. That was tremendous, Jeremy. Well, one more here on my side. This is a great question about the guests we have. Somehow they're writing questions about guests that have already been on. I don't know how they did this.
Yeah.
But dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, I saw that you're having the people from Haunted Cleveland Ghost Tours on the show.
Oh, they were just here.
And I wanted to know more about the torso murders. Did Elliot Ness solve those? And will Great Lakes come out with a torso murders beer or maybe a Bloody Mary mix? I think they should. That's from Jen in Richmond Heights.
I like the Bloody Mary mix idea.
On the torso murders?
The torso murders were never solved, and I believe that was a big black mark on Elliot Ness.
Yeah, great question. I'm glad we answered that, Jen, for you.
One more question from Rick and Avon. Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, how much money did you guys make off of Archie and the Bunkers? A little forward, Rick.
Sounds a little jealous. Very petty.
Yeah, we actually lost money on that, I believe. I think our production crew cost more than we brought in for. I don't know how we would make money. Ads on our YouTube video. You don't get paid a lot for 53 views.
No, you don't. Thanks. So, Rick, we actually lost several $100 on that.
Yeah.
So thank you for reminding
us.
Still
trying to work. We're going to have to do weekend puppet shows now and try and make up for that lost money.
Let's partner with her. What's her name?
Her name is Rick.
Sorry, the puppet person.
Sheila.
Maybe we could partner with Sheila and get some sort of online, maybe like a video, a YouTube video channel of puppeting.
We can't even afford to produce our own podcast anymore. We have to hijack other people's.
Yeah, that's
so
what
that's how in the hole we are.
But great questions.
Like I said, you can write to us at hatemail@radioshowonline.com.
Well, Jeremy, I think we've covered a lot of things today.
We did. We covered a lot of things. And it was fun. I want to thank Tim and Mike again from Super Duper Saturday Show for having us. And they had an awesome idea of doing a podcast live, which is a lot more fun because there's people here and they're eating and drinking and you get instant feedback, which is fun. So if you're not doing anything on a Saturday from noon to 2, you should come check these guys out live.
They'll be here every Saturday. I know they've got a Facebook page, an event page for this. So check that out. We've got a link on our page, Jeremy, as we always do, Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy on Facebook.
Right.
So thanks again, everyone.